I'm just going to ask you to stand and just want to have a word of prayer before the message this morning and pray for needs today. We don't have the availability to have time to verbalize every specific need that's represented, but I know that there are needs here and heard some before service and there are some in service, and I just feel encouraged to tell you today that Jesus is for you.
Yes, he is.
And not only is he for you, but he's coming back for you. And there's nothing that he can't do for you. And I just want us to pause right here, not only to pray for the message, but to pray for God's will to be done. And you may not know the person's need beside you, but God does. Amen? And he's in charge. So let's just pray together for needs to be met, whether you know what they are or not. I know that God does this morning. Father, we just thank you for Calvary. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you that you were broken and spilled out, and you paid that debt that is something that we cannot repay. And Father, today I pray that the blood of Jesus would cover sin today. I pray, Lord, for hurting. I pray, Lord, for those that physically are in need of healing. I pray for those that are emotionally in need of repair. And I pray, Lord, Father, for those today that have come with very, very hard-pressing issues. Maybe they're economic issues. Maybe they're financial pressures. Maybe they're physical trauma. I don't know all the needs that are represented here today, but Lord, I know that you do. And so I come in Jesus' name believing and receiving an answer today. I pray that not one person here today would leave without feeling the love, the compassion, without feeling the anointing, without feeling that the Lord not only understands, but he will meet that need for the glory and for the honor of God. We just bless your name and pray God's blessing on this message today. We just give you all the glory and all the praise. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. We'll let you be seated. Well, I asked you last week to pray for cooler temperatures, and I'm not sure you prayed hard enough, or you must have prayed in the reverse, because instead of going down, it's gone up. But last Sunday, preached on compassion, and we're going to continue on that this morning for just a few moments. And I guess part of our prayer could be, Lord, have compassion on us and give us some rain, as the governor's challenged us to pray that God would send that rain. And I know that he will, and we've got to be in prayer about that. And through the course of this week, have been just asking God for purpose and direction. And you know, sometimes messages are just centered for, it seems like, maybe one or two people. They say that was just for me, but how you know God has a word for all of us this morning? And we're not here for just a brief moment of time, but as we look into the Word of God and go back and forth in the Word and Scripture, we're going to be encouraged and uplifted to know that God is in charge and God is in control. And I just wanted to start out this morning by sharing with you a brief illustration, a personal family member who is very dear to my heart, which is my father-in-law, and his name is Charles. He has been here a couple of times to visit with his wife, and the illustration that came to mind came because of his compassion for his spouse. And I touched on that last week about compassion and how we can relate to one another. And you know, I believe sometimes as we grow in marriage, it's easy to take our spouse for granted. It's easy to take some of their needs for granted. And how many of you have been married as long as I have? August the 1st will have been married 30 years. Anybody outdo me on that one? A few hands going up. Whether you've been married a year or 30 years, we sometimes can lose that touch of really being sensitive to our husbands and to our wives. Amen? Y'all don't even get what I'm doing today. See, I'm trying to get back in good graces with her from last week. But year after year after year after year after year after year, I have noticed something that is a positive quality in my father-in-law. When we marry family, we marry everybody that's related to the person that we married to. And I realized that. And my mother-in-law is a giving person, and she's a terrific person. But in the last few years, health has digressed, and she's had Alzheimer's. She's also had rheumatoid arthritis. She can barely put one foot in front of the other. It's a struggle to manage day to day. But my father-in-law services 20 airports on the east side of Oklahoma, is at the Grove Airport here for about 10 years, services their weather stations. And to this day, he manages their household by caring for his spouse. And I've looked at his situation and I've watched that situation and I've thought to myself, you know what? Your care is going to take you under because you are giving and giving and preparing meals and taking care of household duties, and you are loving your wife in the latter years, and that commitment to each other to not go into a nursing home or convalescent care unless absolutely necessary has been followed through to the nth degree. And as I've watched his life progress, and as he would load her in the vehicle and load her in his airplane and help her into our house and help her with meals and help her, Lord, in just the daily chores of life, help her get to church, open the door for her, I thought, what a demonstration in living form to me of what compassion is all about. Because I thought, could I possibly do that? For many years, when my wife's dad would show up, I mean, I would get enthusiastic. I still do, because he is named Mr. Fix-It in my world. I think the only thing he can't fix is, what, a scrambled egg and a broken heart? A broken windshield.
And heart.
And heart. I didn't know about the windshield. See, we've only been married 30 years. And my dad is not Mr. Fix-It. You're blessed if you have that ability. When her dad was a young boy, he would take clocks apart, put them back together. He would take doorbells apart, put them back together, take cars apart, put them back together. He had that experimental mind. My dad was the comptroller for General Motors. He was a pencil pusher, and he was a plant auditor, and finally got to be the comptroller. And then they laid 4,000 people off and had to take early retirement. But I did not learn some of those life skills except from my father-in-law, still learning a lot. So I'm blessed every time that he shows up. But as I've watched his venue change and his schedule change from all the things that he currently does, it's amazing to me that he still takes daily time to prepare coffee, to prepare meals, and take care of the person that he has been dedicated to year after year after year after year. You know, in America today, sometimes we're missing that ingredient of that unselfish love in our personal homes, whether it be to our spouses or to our children. We've got to return to the genuine kind of love and the genuine kind of compassion that Christ demonstrated. Amen? I just wanted to give you that little commercial and brag on him a little bit, because I see that walked out daily before me. And I'll remember that, and I'm still watching that and viewing that more than I will any sermon. Friend, it's important that we demonstrate the compassion of Christ. It's important that we love each other, that we say kind things to each other, that we go out of our way to serve one another. Amen? And make that not a drudgery, but a joy. Hallelujah. So guys, today, when you get ready to go home, and I'm preaching to myself this morning, open the door for her, open the car door for her. Amen?
Amen?
Ask her where she wants to go to eat. And then when you get to the restaurant, open the door for her. Are y'all writing this down? It's powerful sermon notes right now. Be an example. Be an example. Be courteous. Be kind. Demonstrate the love of Jesus in every avenue of life. And I tell you what, she'll reward you for that later. Amen? You won't have burnt biscuits tonight. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Take your Bibles, and we're going to look at one verse in Matthew chapter number 9 this morning. And verse number 36. It says these words, "When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted, and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Conceited people are often self-absorbed. Conceited people are worried about what's this got to do and how is this fitting into what blesses me. Anybody ever known any conceited people? Nobody? That will change the message. Unselfish people are concerned about other people. I believe if you just take this verse in Matthew 9:36, and we could just stay here until we conclude, Jesus didn't just see the need, he responded to the need. He was not a spectator, but he actually himself was moved with compassion when he saw what the need was. We can be good orators, we can be good speech writers, we can be good politicians, we can talk about the need, but how are we responding to the need? We can make a list of things that we need to do, but how do we apply them? You see, unselfish people are selfless. They're willing to put others in front of themselves. And I would say to you today, that is not the easiest thing to do in the world. And it is not the philosophy of America. Because America's philosophy has become, you do what you need to do and what makes you feel good and how you can rise to the top, and it doesn't matter how you get there.
Right.
It's completely opposite of the model that Jesus gave us. His model was unselfish, right. Selfless. More concerned about somebody else's need than our own.
Amen.
Now, if that is not challenging, I don't know what is. Because often it's just, what can I get out of it? With compassion, we're moved to action, to do something. Jesus was always blessing. Jesus was ministering. Jesus was touching the faint-hearted. He was touching the sick, the palsy. He was touching the person that was demon-possessed, the woman taken into adultery. And I love the illustration when Jesus went to Lazarus. Remember that one? And it seemed as though nothing could be done, but Jesus knew better. I want to tell you this morning, if you feel like you're in the service this morning and nothing can be done, it's an untrue statement, because with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Anything can be done.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Anything. You say, well, I'm not sure. I don't know how. I've been wrestling with this, and this marriage situation continues to be problematic. This financial situation continues to be problematic. Listen, I believe that Jesus is compassionate. We just have to be hungry to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and hungry to serve. Compassion is concerned enough to care. I'm going to focus on somebody else's need other than my own. Amen? I'm going to focus on probably something that's larger than what I can respond to, but with God's help, I'm going to pray for that need and I'm going to see how it can be accomplished. Matthew or Mark chapter 10 verse 45 says, Jesus said, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. His role was a servant-like role. Amen?
Yes.
Opposite of what we think of today for success. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 10, Paul says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. We're family. We are family. And when one family member bleeds, others bleed with it. When one member suffers, other members suffer with it. When one member rejoices, other members rejoice with it. It is not just me that's in it, it's we that's in it together. Somebody said one time, we're kind of like porcupines, you know. We gather around the fire and we need each other, but yet we needle each other. We love each other so much, but yet we get on each other's nerves. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I'm going to go deep today. How many of you have ever gotten irritated by a family member? Rubbed the wrong way by a family member? Any family member ever get on your nerves?
Amen?
Amen. Hallelujah. You know what? The biggest remedy for all of that irritation is strike back with love. Strike back with love. How many of you have ever had to bite your lower lip? You thought it, but you didn't say it. I want to tell you this morning, the longer that you're married, the harder that bite's going to become. Because you think about it, but you don't verbalize it. Because if you verbalize it, it creates maybe a turmoil. Amen? Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, you better get to preaching. Jesus was moved. He was responding to a need. And He knew that action was required. He was moving with compassion. And I asked the question this morning, what would it take for us to be moved a little bit further down the road? Would it take a tragedy? Would it take a Joplin-type tornado experience to get our attention. I was in Joplin this week, and I tell you what, I felt what these people must have felt, just a little ounce of that emotion of the devastation. It's catastrophic. But I would tell you this morning that it should not take a tragedy to get us to move into a level of active compassion. Amen? What would it take? In general terms, it may take some self-motivation and self-determination. It begins in the prayer closet, the blueprint. You see, a lot of things can be solved in prayer. You say, well, Pastor, I've got some complications. I've got some problems. You know, every day at the office here at Cornerstone Church, there are people that come in with trials and turmoils and problems and situations, and we listen and we pray. I want to tell you, though, you've got divine access to get to the problem solver and the solution maker and the Prince of Peace, the great physician, the I Am, the one who said by His stripes we are healed, and you can go directly free of charge. You don't have to wait in the waiting room. You don't have to wait in a long line. You don't have to wait till your number's called outside. You don't even have to go to the pharmacy to get a prescription fulfilled. All you have to do is go into the throne room and express your need to God, and you can come out of there even in 30 seconds, free of debt, free of physical pain, free of turmoil, free of stress, free of all the stuff that you've been carrying around, anger issues, resentment issues, all that jealousy stuff, all that impatience, all that irritability. Get in the prayer closet and find God, and God will give the remedy. You say, Pastor Mark, it can't be that easy. It is. It is. I don't know how I got off on this hard to live with stuff, but how many of you sometimes know you're hard to live with? When I was getting ready to get married, I went and talked to my mom a little bit about it, and I said, you know, found the one, she's the one, we're going to get married, happy, excited, and everything. And I thought, well, she'd be jumping for joy, you found the one, you're going to get married, everything's, you know, how many know sometimes our parents are not as excited as we are about stuff? And she looked at me, and I said, what's wrong, Mom? She said, you're kind of hard to live with. And I thought, me? Well, we never see me quite like we need to, do we?
That's true.
And that's still been ringing in my ears for a long time. She said, you're just kind of hard to live with. In other words, she was already feeling sympathy for this person that was going to have to put up with this person a long time. Right. Oh, but Mom, I'm in love. Hallelujah. Love is a deep subject, and we have to give, 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 and expecting nothing in return. Amen?
Amen.
Man, aren't you glad that God loves you just like you are?
Amen?
Amen. Hallelujah. How many say today, be honest with you, I'm sometimes hard to live with. You're sometimes hard to live with. Hallelujah. Man, I got some people on my side this morning.
Amen.
We're not always easy to live with. Hallelujah. But Jesus keeps rubbing off the rough edges and helps us, and hallelujah. He saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion. To be effective, number one, in the area of compassion, we've got to be released to minister. We've got to be released to minister. Now, I can speak from experience. I have vacuumed carpet. I have cleaned out toilets. I've even done plumbing in a parsonage. When the plumbing was exploding and my wife was going into hysteria and there was no plumber around, I have cleaned the windows, I have opened the doors, I have done all of those things, dusted furniture. I didn't realize that once you became a pastor that there was more than just preaching involved. But I have also realized that over the years that because of doing all of those things, sometimes I was robbing other people of serving. And in my mentality, I often thought, it needs to be done, so I'll just do it. But in the meantime, what I was doing was cursing myself by burning myself out and robbing others of having the opportunity to clean the toilets and to clean the church and straighten the chairs and put things where they belong. Hallelujah. Amen. We often think that everything belongs to this one person or everything belongs to these few. But that's really not what the Bible teaches. It talks about having areas of specific and concentrated compassion and being released to minister to others. And when we release others to minister, it makes our life so much easier. The Bible is full of illustrations left and right about that very thing. The New Testament teaches us to carry forth the ministry. What are the qualifications of being released to minister? We're just available. We're just available. You say, well, I will make mistakes. We'll all make mistakes. We learn by doing. Amen? Yeah. We learn by doing. We release others to minister, and it's not just inviting people to come to a church service, but it's ministering to them and serving them and touching their life where they live at. Some people are not going to come to a church service. They hate church. They hate religion. They hate the structure of it. They can't stand the institution and all the mistakes the church has made. But they do understand relationship, and they do understand genuine love. We had a biker outreach Sunday at our church, and the people came to me and they told me, they said, these people that you're inviting to church, they are not going to come in the building. They're not going to come in the building. These people that you're inviting onto the property, they will not come into the building. They'll sit on their motorcycle, but they won't come in the building. And me being a church rat all my life, I thought, well, that's rude. You won't come inside the church. But we fixed food for them, invited them, sang to them, set up chairs for them to sit in, hugged them, loved them, and accepted them as they were, all outside the building. I want to tell you something really, really sincerely this morning, church. It's time right now that we go where people are. We go where they are. You say, well, that had to have been a different kind of Sunday. Yes, it was. We had motorcycle bikes. It was so loud I couldn't even talk to the person beside me. It was very different. We had people that came in on all these Harleys and all these big motorbikes that I'm not familiar with, grew up riding trail bikes and my banana seat bicycle with a high sissy bar and high handlebars. I wasn't used to all of this atmosphere. But what I saw in the lives of the people that were ministering to the people in the parking lot was love. Was love. Accepting people as they are and where they're living at. The church has got to be relational. We have to be disciples and follow the compassion example that Christ gave us by going into the harvest that's already there. You say, well, I don't know. I can't relate. I have no idea. Jesus said the harvest truly is ripe. All you have to do is go and allow the Holy Spirit to put the words in your mouth and invite them, and they're ready to come. Amen? Amen. Anybody with me today? I know what time it is. I know I only got 2 minutes to finish 45 pages. But I want to drive this point home today, and it's a point that God has been continuing to minister to me about, and that is to love people as they are. Black, white, rich, or poor. Live across the street from you or live in a nice part of town, it does not matter. Amen? I believe a lot of people are going to be surprised when we get to heaven. They're going to be surprised. They're pleasantly, maybe, sometimes to their shock, be surprised. But we are to release others to minister, to be compassionate. Hallelujah. The Word is filled with examples. And John 20, verse number 21, it says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Let me move on to number two. To demonstrate compassion, we've got to be equipped in the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16 tells us these words. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. To demonstrate compassion, we have to be equipped in the Word. Amen? Amen? We know our TV schedules, but do we know the chapters in the books of the Bible? Amen? We know when our sports program is coming on, but do we have any Scripture memorized? Now here's something healthy that we can do for our spirit man Read Psalms. Read Proverbs. Do it in 30 days. Just encouragement as a guide. You say, well, that's time consuming. It's about 10 to 14 pages per day, average of about no less than 30 minutes a day. The same time frame we would spend doing something else in 30 minutes, whether it's TV or watching a newscast or a comedy. You see, when we get immersed in the Word gets immersed in us. Isn't it sad sometimes that Bible just sits there on a shelf? Sometimes we even forget to bring it on Sunday. But when you get the Word in you, the Word comes out of you. Amen? I said, when you get the Word in you, the Word comes out of you. The Word begins to conquer weak areas of your life. The Word. The Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word is a weapon. The Word will be fruitful. You say, well, my mind is filled with doubt. My mind is filled with fear. My mind is filled with all kinds of negative thinking. Maybe it's the people that we're running with. Maybe it's the atmosphere that we're in. But the Word will declare to us who I am in Christ. I'm righteous. I'm holy. I'm redeemed. I'm covered by the blood. Get into the Word. The Word will bring a solution for every problem. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 3, listen to me. In Revelation 1:3 it says, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. My 7-year-old child was sitting the other night before he went to bed. His mother encourages him to get the Bible out and begin reading it. And he's reading Bible stories. And every so often he would pause and he would ask a question. It's amazing the mind of a 7-year-old and the questions they have about eternity and what's going to happen and how God loves them and what is heaven like and what happens after I die. The Bible says, blessed is he that readeth and he that hears the words. The time that we spend here, the very brief time on Sunday mornings, is not time wasted, but it's profitable time. The Word will equip us. Amen. Number 3, if you're filled with the Word, you also have to be filled with the Spirit. And if you're filled with the Spirit, you're equipped adequately for ministry. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8 says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is upon you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. Also in Luke 12:12, for the Holy Spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. The Holy Spirit brings equipment. Yes. You say, well, I just thought you had to have a PhD. I thought you had to have a degree in theology. I thought you had to have 30 years of pastoral experience. No, the Holy Spirit brings equipment along with the Word. Mix those two things together and you've got a stick of dynamite. Amen. That's why I like Baptists to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Those Bapticostals are powerful people. Because they've been grounded in the Word and filled with the Spirit, and they know what they're talking about. Amen? I hear some amens from some former Baptists in here. Hallelujah! It's an exciting day. It's not time to be downcast. It's not time to be gloomy. It's not time to be depressed. It's not time to be anxious. I know the world's spinning out of control, but God's in charge. And my hope is not based on the economy and gas prices. My hope is not based on the job market or the stock market. My hope is based on who I am in the Word. My hope is based on the power that I have available as a resource to minister forth as I am released by the equipping of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. I don't have to be upset. I don't have to be disturbed. My hope is not in this present world. My hope is somewhere else. What are examples of compassion? Luke chapter 10 and verse number 33 says, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. This guy was compassionate. This person saw the need and responded to it. He went to him, bound his wounds, poured in oil and wine, ministered to him, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn. Let me tell you, every day people pass our way. And we miss opportunities. We miss opportunities. In Acts chapter 16, verse number 33, the Philippian jailer, he took them the same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his house, straightway. This Philippian jailer ministered the love of Christ. What are we going to do to assist people in need? How are we going to respond to this world? Just about 10 minutes of driving through the city of Joplin gave me just a glimpse of how much devastation that city has been revved up with and how much need there is. And I can't meet all those needs, but I can be one little bitty part of it. Isaiah 58:7 says these words, "Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? And when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh?" Is that the real essence of care and concern and compassion? Galatians 6:2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We have to have an equal quality assured concern for one another. 1 Corinthians 12:12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one, so also is Christ." In 1 Corinthians 12:25, I'm going to close with this, that there should be no division or schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. The same care one for another. That's a challenge. Verse 26, "Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. One member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." Listen, 2,000 years ago, Jesus, human yet divine, went to Calvary and let His real blood be spilled and His real body be torn apart and the crown of thorns be placed in His head, because He was more concerned about you and I than Himself. He was more concerned about becoming that substitute, becoming that sacrifice for you than He was about His own agenda. Was it easy? No. He said in the Word of God, He said, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." There are some things in life that are going to be challenging. They're going to be difficult. They're going to be stressful. They're going to test your faith to the nth degree. I mean, I'm praying right now, "Lord, just bring it down just a little, 90 degrees instead of 105. Bring it down." But when the heat is on and the pressure is on and the stress is on, I want to encourage you today, you're not alone. You've got family here that love you and care for you. You have people that want to pray for you. You have people that want to go and bombard heaven for you and make sure that you're going to make it through that. But you've got to express that need, and you've got to ask for that need, and come forth boldly and verbalize that need. And when you call, somebody will be there to help and to answer. There's nothing too hard for God. You say, "Man, it's too hard for me." It ain't for God. Amen? I mean, He humbled Himself, allowed Himself to come in human flesh and be the substitute for you. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Holy Spirit, I pray right now in Jesus' name for comfort and consolation. And Lord, as time goes on and moments pass, pressures mount, survival of the fittest is what's taking place in our world today. So many, many, many people are hurting all over the face of this world. Father, You see the hurting. You see the needy. You see, Father, those in need of employment. But You're Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Lord, You see those that are in need of healing, but You're Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Lord, You see those that are in need of a closer walk with You. And Father, today, I pray that the Holy Spirit would be the arresting officer. Because, Father, Your Word tells us that You have provided every solution for every problem. And as we bow in humble submission and yieldedness right now, It is impossible for me to list all the needs that are represented here today. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is willing to answer prayer and God is willing to help us in our time of need. If it is financial, emotional, physical, or spiritual, with God, all things are possible. And if you're here today and you have a physical, spiritual, financial, or emotional need, I just want you to slip your hand up right now and say, "Pastor, that's me. One of those areas affects me." Just slip up your hand and put it right back down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Emotional, physical, spiritual, whatever that need is. Whatever that need is. About 6 or 7 hands that have been raised this morning, and there may be others as well. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, church? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe God's in this house. Amen. I'm going to ask our service pastors if they would come right now and prepare to minister. And I'm going to ask you this morning, are you ready to demonstrate compassion in action?
This has been a production of Cornerstone Church in Grove, Oklahoma. For more information about Cornerstone, you can call 918-786-6164 or send an email to info@cornerstonechurchofgrove.com. Thanks for listening.